When it comes to finding spiritual inspiration and enlightenment, there are a lot of places people like to look. Churches, meditation retreats, nature, trips around the world, a few common options. But sometimes that inspiration strikes you where at least you least expect it. For our next guest, it came on two wheels. Laura Everett, a pastor in Boston, discovered bicycling after her car broke down for good one night. She turned to the bicycle as a way to get around, but what she discovered was something deeper. In a new book, she describes her conversion to urban cycling, how it brought her closer to the city she called home, and how people can channel their inner spirituality just by hopping on for a ride. Laura Everett joins us now. She's a minister in the United Church of Christ and the executive director of the Massachusetts Council of Churches. Her new book is Holy Spokes, The Search for Urban Spirituality on Two Wheels. Laura, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, talk us through the beginning of the story. A broken down car ends you on this biking quest for spirituality.
That's right. I was driving a beat up old car down 93 South, just outside of Boston, and it finally died. And I was fresh out of seminary, too economically strapped to replace it. And I happened to be in a Bible study at the time with some other women who were asking how to be more faithful with our money, how to spend less and give more. And I showed up that next week, and my car has died. And they said, first, you can't afford a new car. And then secondly, they said, we think you can ride a bicycle, and we'll teach you how. And so I had these wonderful bike lady Sherpas help me build my first bike and then learn how to ride in the city.
And a lot of people think twice about riding a bike in a big city. Boston, pretty good-sized city. Were you a little nervous getting started?
Oh, sure. I am not actually from Boston. I grew up in suburban New Jersey, so for me a bicycle was a kid's toy. It was entertainment or something that you did for pleasure or for exercise, but I didn't think of it really as a vehicle. And city cycling felt really intimidating to me. That's why it was so wonderful that friends and neighbors taught me how to ride. And I know many cities have learned to ride programs because many of us just don't think about bicycles as our primary form of transit.
It ended up being bigger than that, though. It became your primary mode of transit, but it became something more. When did you start to realize that there was more to biking than just getting from point A to point B?
I think it was probably the second year that I was riding. You know, it took a while for this to become my regular practice. But then it didn't take as much thought, as much planning. I could just kind of get on my bike and go. And I realized that what you do daily shapes you. What you do daily shapes you. It shapes your body, it shapes our cities, it shapes our spirits. And I was developing a different kind of relationship with my city because I was riding through it. I had a different sense of my body because my legs could take me somewhere. I had a different sense of my neighbors because I could actually see them.
Talk about that different sense of your city. Because, yeah, I think we've all had the experience if we drive or mass transit or whatever, you get in here, you get out there, and you don't really experience the between part. What is it that you saw from on your bike?
Yeah, I think that's just right. Whether on a subway line or in a car, you're enclosed in some sort of way. And the trip just becomes the way to get in between two places. But on a bicycle, the ride is part of the journey. And there's something about the speed of the bicycle, I think. You're going fast enough for it to be efficient, but slow enough that you actually see what's around you. And certainly on a bicycle, you're not encased, which both can have people feeling a little more vulnerable, but it also means that you see what's around you. So this morning on my commute in, I saw a gaggle of small children heading to the park, and I rang my bell a bunch of times and waved, and I was like the most impressive superhero they saw all day. So that sense of like actually being able to interact with your neighbors because you're not separated from them.
And you talk in the book, and it's actually even in your title, the idea of urban spirituality. And I think in Christianity and a lot of other traditions. If you want to connect with your spirituality, you want to get to nature. The big city isn't the place you look for that spiritual connection necessarily. You don't buy that, though.
No. I mean, I think you're right. There's definitely a trend that says we find the transcendent. And frankly, in many religious traditions and folks who don't identify with just one have this sense that, like, to be spiritually wise is to go to the mountains or go to the lake or the ocean and find something transcendent in the isolation. But for those of us who follow the Christian scriptures, we're a people whose story starts in a garden but ends in a city. The heavenly vision in Revelation is urban, a new heaven and a new earth. But the way we talk about transcendence acts like you gotta go to the wilderness to find God. And so I thought for those of us who love cities, or for those of us who can't leave cities, how are we supposed to find the transcendent here?
And when you started to embrace the bicycle as a mode of transportation and a window to spirituality, you started to minister not just to your own congregation, but to your fellow bicyclists. Can you talk about what kind of things you started to do?
Well, it's a pretty wonderful thing to be connected to a community of practical cyclists, all these people from different walks of life, races, economic backgrounds, ethnicities, who also either by choice or by necessity ride their bike. And so you start to see the same people every day at the same intersections. And I felt like we got to know one another a little bit. And I thought I was being kind of funny, and I stuck the clergy placard that was supposed to go on my car, and I zip-tied it to the back of my bicycle. So people sort of knew who I was. And I think you all have seen some of this in Milwaukee anyway, that when a cyclist is killed, there's a tradition in the cycling community of installing a ghost bike, a white bicycle placed at the scene of the crash so that the person who has died might be made visible. Because cyclists really have an embodied sense of their vulnerability as transit users. America is definitely designed primarily for cars in many places. And so the ghost bike is a reminder that we have vulnerable transit users and we need to keep an eye out for them. As we had more and more people riding in Boston, and unfortunately as there were a few more fatalities, the cycling community gathered to dedicate these ghost bikes, and I help facilitate and lead a lot of our ghost bike dedications here. But we also get together once a year to have a blessing of the bicycles, too. It's beautiful.
We're talking right now with Laura Everett. She's a minister in the United Church of Christ. She's in Boston. She's the author of the new book, Holy Spokes, The Search for Urban Spirituality on Two Wheels. She says cycling can be a great way to get to know your neighbors, your city, and yourself. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel inspired, even enlightened, after a ride on your bike? What can cycling teach us about our surroundings and ourselves? What is important to you about riding on a bike? What view does it give you on the world you live in? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking right now with Laura Everett. She's a minister in the United Church of Christ, the author of Holy Spokes, The Search for Urban Spirituality on Two Wheels. You can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you think cycling can teach us about our surroundings and ourselves? Have you drawn inspiration from cycling or another similar humble activity? Has it actually changed you? Have you connected with your spirituality in an unexpected place? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Laura, I want to introduce another character from your book, Brother Lawrence. Can you tell us about him and how he inspired you?
Yeah. So Brother Lawrence is a Catholic monk. He joined a French monastery in 1632 after he had a vision of a dead tree out in winter, and he looked out and he saw the possibility of spring. And so he made his way to a monastery. He spent a significant portion of his life peeling potatoes. Best we know, he worked in the monastery kitchen, but he compiled this. We have his collective writings called The Practice of the Presence of God, and it's a touchstone for spiritual practice and mindfulness. And I, in trying to make sense of how my daily commute was shaping me, I turned to Brother Lawrence, who also found the possibility of mindfulness and a regular conversation with God amid the clatter of pans and the annoying practices of his brother monks.
Yeah, how do we calibrate ourselves to that kind of awareness, I guess, whether we're riding a bike or peeling potatoes for the rest of the monks or whatever other humble activity?
Right. Well, I find inspiration from monastic communities who often would call this practice a rule of life. It was a set of norms and patterns that govern their communal living. And I think cyclists have that. Practical cyclists, those of us who ride daily as our primary means of transit, have a sort of discipline that any pastor would give her right arm for, a discipline and a dedication of how they will move intentionally through the world. And my hope with Holy Spokes was to tease out what is happening to us, our spirits, our community, our sense of ourselves in our cities as we ride through.
Talking to Laura Everett. Her new book is Holy Spokes, The Search for Urban Spirituality on Two Wheels. She talks about her conversion to urban bicycling and how it changed her view of the world, spirituality, and the people around her. Laura, a lot of people, if they're going to set out to do urban bicycling, might think, okay, but I'm going to avoid what I see as a sketchy, maybe dangerous neighborhood. That's something you tried not to do. Why?
Right. Well, I think an intentional practice of border crossing is part of what shapes us to be good neighbors. It turns out that to be committed to that whole love thy neighbor thing is actually easier when you see your neighbors. So by cars or by bus, sometimes we just rush through neighborhoods that are unfamiliar to us. But by bicycle, we can slow down, see what's actually happening, notice the parks, notice the neighbors, notice the shops, notice communities that we might not see otherwise.
I want to bring on a caller now. We have Jen on the line in Madison at 800-642-1234. Jen, hi.
Hi, Rob.
What did you want to tell us about, Jen?
So I do find bicycling a very meditative exercise. For me, the kind of rhythmic, repetitive, circular pedal stroke that you have to do just to kind of keep yourself going, that kind of gets me in a very meditative mind state. You know, you're also in a very vulnerable environment. So all that kind of mixed together, I find to be very meditative.
Jen, thanks so much for sharing that. Does that match up with your experience, Laura?
Oh, absolutely. Jen, that's beautiful. And that's my experience on a bike as well. You know, when a route becomes familiar enough that you can just go, and there's a sense of a heightened awareness. And in my experience, that time on my bike is when my anxiety, the sort of chatter in my mind, filters down, and I can start noticing what is most important, what is really nagging me. But yeah, there's something about that regular rhythm of pedaling that allows my mind to settle and maybe even to transcend what is most present in front of me.
Jen, thanks for that call. Laura, you also talk about biking in Boston as a way to learn to manage anger of yourself and of others. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, well, maybe drivers in Wisconsin are kinder than ones in Boston. We've got quite a reputation here, but I don't know about you all, but our rush hour is ripe for some spiritual maturity. You know, we're competitive. We're not kind. We're mean and aggressive on the road. We behave on roads in ways that we would never do in the grocery store, in line at the post office, rushing to lights and cutting people off. And so as a vulnerable transit user, cyclists need to notice what's going on around them and both claim the dignity of our own space that we are allowed to be on the road, but also to recognize that there are actors that are much bigger than us. And so how you deal with other people's anger is important on the road and a practice I take off it as well.
So you've gotten better about not being angry at the drivers, even if they're insensitive?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I think I really hope that pedestrians and cyclists and drivers remember that we're all just humans trying to make it home alive. I believe seriously in proportional responsibility. If you're driving a 1,000-pound vehicle that could do enormous damage to a vulnerable transit user, I ask and pray that you do not drive distracted. Leave the text, leave the phone call, leave your sandwich for another time, because the person on the bike, we're just trying to get home to our family too.
Laura, just a few moments left. Leave us with a bit of encouragement to someone out there thinking of getting their bike tuned up and giving this a shot.
Oh, I am happy to be a bicycle evangelist. Look, there is a good life on two wheels. And for those of you who haven't ridden in a long time, maybe this is a call to try again or invite somebody else to teach you how. Think about if there is an upcoming trip in your life that is less than 5 miles, pretty close by, and could you take a bicycle to do it? Remember to pump up your tires, put on your helmets and your lights, notice the people and the world around you, find the strength in your own legs and the wind in your face. I hope you have a joyful time on your bike.
Laura, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
That's Laura Everett. She's a minister in the United Church of Christ. She's in Boston. She's the executive director of the Massachusetts Council of Churches. We've been talking about her new book. It's called Holy Spokes, The Search for Urban Spirituality on Two Wheels. You can find out more about that and share your stories on the Central Time Facebook page.